Open your Bibles, if you would, to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. The name of the message is Sovereign Grace. Sovereign Grace. God's grace is sovereign. He rules over all. Our great God is sovereign, therefore His grace is sovereign, therefore His mercy is sovereign. He is absolutely sovereign over all. There is nothing visible or invisible that is not under His dominion, that is not under His rule. And the fact that we are saved is all according to the sovereign grace of God, the true and living God, the one true and living God. And this is brought forth both in the Old Testament and in the New, the fact that our God is a sovereign God and that He's gracious to whom He'll be gracious to. He'll have mercy on whom He'll have mercy, and compassion on whom He'll have compassion. And we who are the people of God, we are in awe that He has had compassion and mercy and grace upon us. So let's look at a couple portions of scriptures. First in Numbers chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 8, which bring forth the sovereign grace of God. Numbers chapter 3 first, we'll read verses 5 to 8. And we see here the separation from amongst Israel of the tribe of Levi. The separation, again, of the tribe of Levi from amongst Israel for God's use. And we're seeing that it's God who does this. And the Levites are to serve God as priests. Now, did the Levites say, "Hey, we'll do this. We're going to volunteer for this, Lord"? No. Not at all. God chose them out of all of Israel to be the priests. Look at Numbers chapter 5 verses, or Numbers chapter 3, I'm sorry, Numbers chapter 3 verses 5 to 8. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him." So God tells Moses to bring the tribe of Levi before Aaron, so that they might minister unto them. And look what else they do. "And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle." Now keep in mind, beloved, that we are separated by our great God. That we are separated by our great God from the rest of all the rest of humanity. Did we volunteer for it? No. No, we were rebels running the other way, weren't we? In our natural state. And God has chosen His people to serve Him as spiritual priests. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. God has chosen us from the rest of humanity to serve Him. We're serving Him as spiritual priests. You know, we're a chosen people by God. God has chosen us. And we know He did that in eternity. God has separated us, beloved, from all the rest of the world. Was there anything in us that made Him say, "Well, I'm going to choose Wayne, or I'm going to choose Neil, or I'm going to choose Jim, or Kevin"? Was there anything in us
that made him do that? Absolutely not. We had no merit at all, did we? None. None.
He looked at us and just saw us in our sinfulness. And by His grace and mercy, He separated us by choosing us in Christ. That's the key, in Christ. And if you're a believer, He did that for you too. Every single believer. He chose us in Christ in eternity. Praise His mighty name. So we're a chosen people by God from before the world began. Now we can't really take that in, can we? But it's truth proclaimed, isn't it? It's a fact. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 brings that forth. That we're chosen in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. It's a stated fact. It's not up for debate. Many kick against the pricks, don't they? I did before the Lord saved me. I remember talking to somebody one time. They told me about election, and I said, "You're crazy." I told them that when I was in religion. I told them that flat out. I said, "You're crazy, man." He just looked at me and smiled. And he said, "Well, one day you'll understand why." By His grace and His mercy, I understand now. He wasn't crazy. He was telling me the truth. Oh, my. See, but I thought salvation was all about what I did back then. And now I realize it's God who's separated us. It's God who saved us. Because He chose us in Christ by His sovereign grace and His sovereign mercy. Look at here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at this. Speaking again, Peter's writing to born again, blood washed believers, right? He's not writing to the world. He's writing to God's people. And he says this, "But ye," who's that? That's God's elect. "But ye are" what? "A chosen generation." You are chosen out of your generation if you're a believer in Christ. God chose you out of, when, you know, people say, "Well, God looked down through time and He saw who would choose them and then He saved them." No, that's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because God looked down through time and we're all just a bunch of miserable sinners. And out of each generation, He chose us. That's what this means. Isn't that amazing? Chose to bestow His grace upon you. So that you and I are just receivers of His mercy and His grace. Think of all the people in our generation. Millions of people. And He chose you and I. If you're a believer. We'd just stop right there, couldn't we? Because we can just think about that for the rest of the week. Or the rest of our lives. But we won't. I mean, we won't stop there. Hopefully that just keeps staying in our minds. That we are a chosen generation. All because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. Now, look at this. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Do you feel holy? We don't feel holy, do we? But the Scriptures declare that we're a holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth, what's the design of God saving us? That ye should show forth the praises of Him, God, who hath called us out of what? And notice who called us out of. We didn't say, "Well, I'm going to make a decision now to walk with Christ." No, He called us out of what? Darkness. That's what we were in. Have you ever walked around your house or outside when it's pitch black? I've told you guys, I like to leave a little light on so I can see where I'm going at night. Now lately I found out my phone is perfect for that. If I just hit it, it just lights the way. I can just, so I'm not tripping over my dog or the cat. Right? Because I've done that before. I'm sure we all have sometime. But so we have a light now. A light. But you ever notice when it gets really dark, it's a thick darkness and you can't see a lot? Even close your eyes and try to have your eyes adjust to the darkness, but it's still really thick. It's even darker than that. We were in utter darkness. We were so blind we couldn't see nothing.
We were in the darkness of our sins, beloved.
Look what it says here. Who called us out of that? Who did it all? Well, God did, right? That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. Past tense. We were there. We're now out of that darkness. Isn't that wonderful? Now our paths are lighted. Lighted by His Word. Lighted by He who is the light of the world. My, oh my. And into what? His marvelous light. The light of knowing who Christ is. We were taken out of that dark spiritual darkness that we were in, dead in trespasses and sins. And now we are quickened by the Holy Spirit of God and made alive in Christ. Brought from the darkness that we were in to the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. All according to His sovereign grace. All according to His sovereign mercy. All according to His will and purpose, which He purposed in Himself. It's wonderful, isn't it? And then look at verse 10. This is wonderful. Which in times past were not a people, that's speaking of our natural state, right? But are now the people of God. How? By God's amazing grace. Which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Look at that. Present tense. We who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have present tense obtained mercy. Isn't that wonderful? That's the mercy of God. That's the sovereign mercy of God that we have obtained. Do we deserve it? No. Do we merit it? No. Does God give it? Yes. How does He give it? According to His sovereign grace. According to the free and sovereign grace of God, He gives us mercy. He grants us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father chose us. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us by His grace. And God the Holy Spirit calls us out of the darkness of our sin into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise His mighty name. He didn't leave us where we were, beloved. Because we're His people. Now with that in our minds, let's turn to Numbers chapter 8. And we'll read verses 5 to 7 in Numbers chapter 8. Keeping in mind the sovereign grace of our great God. The almighty sovereign grace. Now God's grace, no one can stop it. No one can stop the sovereign grace of God. I like to say irresistible calling is invincible calling. You cannot resist it. When God calls one of His sheep, that sheep can't resist. Why? Because we're made willing by the power of God in the day, in the time of love. I ask you who are saved. When God called you to Christ, did you run to Him? Did you go from being in darkness to being in spiritual light? Did you have an understanding? Although it was very little, right? And still is. Even the oldest Christian are what we know is just a little wee scratch. We can't get proud about what we know in Christ, can we? It's just a little scratch. But thank God He's revealed that to us. And think of God. The Bible is all that God's, just what God's revealed about Himself. There's even more about Him we don't even know. Norm Wells said that one time to me, and I said, Norm, that's outstanding. He said, there's so much more we don't even know about our God. And He just chooses to reveal this little bit to us. My. How great is our God? we can't even comprehend it. The one who controls the snow falling from the sky. The one who controls the water going up and coming down.
The one who, the clouds and the dust of his feet. The one who spoke this whole world into existence. The universe, everything we see, just by the word of his power. And beloved, that's our Savior. The word of God. He's the one who saved us by his grace. And that's sovereign grace, isn't it? That's sovereign mercy. Oh my. And we've obtained it. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't merit it. But we've obtained it by the grace of God. In Christ Jesus our Lord. All because the Lord Jesus Christ died for us on Calvary's cross according to the sovereign will and purpose of God. And because God, by His free and sovereign grace, chose us in Christ. And Christ redeemed us. He purchased us, beloved, with His precious, precious blood. It's done. Trust in Him. Trust Him when He says, it's finished. It's finished. Rest in that truth. Rest in that proclamation by the Son of God. By the Word of God incarnate, as far as our salvation, it is finished! Praise His mighty name. Oh, what a great God we have. What a great God we have.
Look at this in Numbers chapter 8. Look at this in verses 5 to 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. Let us never forget that as we read the Old Testament scriptures, we read the accounts of the Old Testament, that all these things happen to them for types
and for our learning. For our learning.
Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Beloved of God, all the Old Testament teaches of the Lord Jesus Christ.
There's types and pictures and shadows of His wonderful work of redemption which He accomplished at Calvary's cross.
Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're reading a rather long portion here, but that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. How did they pass?
How did they pass through the Red Sea? God parted the sea, didn't He? And they walked upon dry ground. That's a picture of the mercy of God, isn't it? That's the sovereign grace and mercy of God on full display. And His people passed right through that to the other side, didn't they? On dry ground. And what happened to them Egyptians? What happened to the enemies of God when they went flying in there? And then chariots, I'll tell you what, those chariots, they were war machines. They had archers with them. A guy riding a chariot, archers with them. And they were deadly with their aim. They had honed their skills, beloved, in many battles. Nothing to the Lord. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there any enemy that will threaten our great God? Absolutely not. And the enemies of God are devoured, are destroyed when that water just falls upon them. And that pictures the wrath of God, beloved, falling upon unbelievers.
Remember the wheels fell off? How did the wheels? The wheels all of a sudden just start falling off their chariots. I'll tell you what, they keep them chariots in expert shape.
All of a sudden, the wheels just start falling off. Well,
we know who made those wheels fall off, don't we?
Off they fell. You imagine them gypsies looking at that water? And all of a sudden, it just starts closing in upon them. And they vanish. The enemies of God vanquished.
God's people walking on dry land. Safe and secure. Because their great God kept them that way. Our great God kept them that way. He keeps us that way too. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples. Look at that. For our learning. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6. Now these things were for our examples. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happened unto them for what? Examples. Look at that. That we might learn from what they did. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. My. So the Old Testament teaches us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the two passages we looked at there in the book of Numbers, we have a type of the sovereign grace of God. In the salvation of his people. God chose Levi out of all of Israel. And they are a priesthood set apart by God for that purpose. And they picture the elect of God, like we saw in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. They picture the elect of God who being made righteous kings and priests unto God. How? By Christ's substitutionary death upon the cross. And all according to God's will and purpose. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, beloved. Who is the King of Kings, our great High Priest, the Lord our righteousness. So think upon this. When we look at God's dealing with Levi, we are seeing God dealing with the sinner. Saved by grace. And appointed to a lofty service unto God. Again, we're kings and priests. Serving our great God. To offer acceptable sacrifices by Jesus Christ. All according to the sovereign grace of God. Everything goes back to Christ, beloved. And remember, the only one who made Levi to differ... That tribe to differ from all the other tribes is God. Who made you to differ from anyone else in your generation? Who made me to differ from all my family and friends and the people of my generation? Who made us to differ? God. And God alone. He's the only one made us to differ. It's the will and purpose of God. That sinners are saved, that they're separated from the world. And called according to God's wonderful calling. The first thing we see in Levi is in his nature. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 49, verses 5 to 7. We see the kind of people that make up God's priesthood. And how we were in our natural state. Genesis chapter 49, we see the characterization of Levi and his brother. Genesis 49, verses 5 to 7. Simon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Look at that. Verse 5. Simon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man. And in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce in their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So Jacob here was referring to the deceitful and murderous actions which Levi took against Shechem, the son of Hamor, in Genesis chapter 34. Turn over there if you would. Shechem, the son of Hamor, had defiled Dinah, Jacob's daughter, and Simon and Levi's sister, and they were going to extract some revenge. These two brothers, after they had struck a deal with Shechem and Hamor that all the men in the city would be circumcised, went in after those men had been circumcised, and they were recovering in pain, and they killed them all. Genesis chapter 34, verses 25 and 26. Look at this. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. They just slaughtered them. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. They went and delivered their sister, didn't they? And they extracted revenge. For what Shechem had done. And Jacob proclaimed that these two men were wicked and cruel, we saw there in Genesis chapter 49 verse 5. Simon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty in all their habitations. And that's what he's speaking of, what we just read. That's why he called them instruments of cruelty. And Jacob proclaimed that his honor could not unite with them, nor would he enter into their secret. Brother Tim James brings forth that this is a picture of the relationship of the Holy God with sinful men. His eyes are too pure to behold us, to behold evil. And he will in no wise clear the guilty, will he? He cannot have anyone evil in his presence. And he will in no wise clear the guilty. Now there was another man known to the early church who wasted the church, caused havoc. And he was present when they stoned Stephen. And he even gave consent to the stoning of Stephen. And this man, beloved of God, he sought to crush the church. He sought to destroy the church. He sought to remove it from the face of the earth. That was his intention. You know what his name was? Saul of Tarsus. And the grace of God came upon him. And he wrote, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." That same man who sought to destroy the church was a receiver of the grace of God. In another place he wrote this, "Unto me who am the less than the least of saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." See, the Apostle Paul and Levi in the Old Testament, They were the same in their natural state, weren't they? We're all the same in our natural state. Levi didn't know that his tribe would become the priesthood of God. And by his actions, we wouldn't say that, would we? Paul, the last thing that people who were working with Paul would think was that the Lord would save him. He who was breathing out cruelties and slaughtering the church. And yet he was an object of divine mercy and did not even know it. He had no clue. So the Apostle Paul and Levi in the Old Testament were the same in their natural state. Levi and Paul were examples of what it takes to save cruel, fierce, wicked men. The sovereign grace of God. The only one who made them to differ is God. Bring it home. The only one who made us to differ is God. Is God. Beloved of God, only the sovereign, majestic, free, and sovereign grace of God will suffice to save a man or to save a woman. Only the grace of God can turn such men into trophies of God's grace.
And our prayer is, O Lord, draw your lost sheep. Show lost sinners their desperate need for you. And the people praying that are but saved sinners.
And our desire is, oh Lord, please, please save souls. And He does. All according to His grace and His mercy. And you and I, who believe, are trophies of God's grace. We can testify that the only one who made us to differ is the same one true and living God who made Levi to differ, and who made Paul to differ, and who's made every single saint of God to differ from all the other people that they lived with. By nature, you know what? By nature, every one of us have been weighed in the balances and what?
Found wanting. Remember that Old Testament? Thou hast been weighed in the balances and found wanting. The story in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. My, oh my. But praise be to God.
God had mercy and grace upon His people. His blood-washed saints, the purchased one of Christ, have been declared in Christ righteous,
qualified for heaven, all according to the mercy of God. Now that should put a spring in our step, shouldn't it? Not because we deserve anything, because we don't deserve any of that mercy. As a matter of fact, if we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell, wouldn't we?
But God has mercy on His people. Truly, this is sovereign grace on display. Because by nature, we're all vile sinners. We're all God-hating rebels. That's what the Scripture says. You know what natural man's described like this? This is a biblical description of natural man. Destruction and misery are in their ways. With their mouth they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their tongue. That's a declaration of natural men, even if they don't think they're sinners. That's the declaration that they're sinners. And we were there. And again, we're but saved sinners, aren't we? By the grace and mercy of God. So Paul and Levi's natural state was the same as ours. The same natural state of every born-again, blood-washed saint of God. But praise be to God, our great God visited them in His sovereign mercy, didn't He? Now let this comfort your soul if you're a believer this week. God has visited you in sovereign mercy. God has visited you with sovereign grace. Amazing, isn't it? It's absolutely... Did you deserve it? No. Did you merit it? No. Could you ever earn the right for it? No. But God, in His mercy and His grace, at the appointed time of God,
He visits us in mercy.
And when He does, we see the glory of our sovereign grace. We see the glory of the sovereign grace of our God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? And we praise His mighty name. We praise and thank Him for His goodness and His mercy. Let's read Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 to 8 again, and then put your fingers in Numbers chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. And again, I'm going to read Numbers 3, and I'm going to ask you before I do, who made the difference between Levi and his brethren? Numbers chapter 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near. There's the calling. And present them before Aaron, the priest, that they may minister unto him. Well, surely Levi didn't make the difference, did he? And his brothers didn't push him and say, push the tribe of Levi and say, well, this is the best tribe. We know Jacob wouldn't have done that because of what he spoke about him in Genesis 39. But see, God chose him, didn't he? God made the difference. Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 8. God is the one who brings sinners from the dunghill to be seated among princes. Numbers chapter 8, look at this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 5, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil. And another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. On what ground can God, who is just and holy, bring such as one as I and you and Levi and Paul to be his honored priests? Well, we know again that Levi didn't volunteer for the job. He didn't say, well, I made a decision, Lord, I'm going to be the priest. He didn't do that, did he? No, he's standing there in the midst of his other brethren. And God told Moses, you bring Levi and that tribe up here. You separate them from amongst their brethren. Levi didn't make a move until God commanded it. You ever think of that? Levi didn't make a move until God commanded it. My, oh my. He was chosen by God. He is bought before God. What does the Scriptures declare about each one of God's saints? But of God are ye in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's a work of God. Levi's self-will, like every other person born into this world, who is the seed of Adam, had no inclination to come to God. None. No attraction to cause him to approach unto God. But again, he's the chosen vessel in Christ before the foundation of the world. He's part of the royal priesthood of God. Scriptures declare, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. If you've been caused to approach God, you're blessed. Because it's God who's caused you to approach Him. It's all His work. And look at verse 7 of Numbers chapter 8. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Now two things are brought forth here before us in this text. God's people, of God's people. And these two things represent what Christ has done for us by His death on the cross. Purifying and washing, and we see shaving. These picture the work of Christ. Cleansing the sinner by His precious, precious blood through His Word. And in the cutting off of that which grows by nature. That which grows by nature. These wonderful truths are set before us. Oh, the Word of God is absolutely wonderful, isn't it? We are cleansed by the washing of the Word, and the Spirit of God has dominion over the old nature. The shaving of the hair so accurately depicts man's nature, even as he's being saved by grace, it still grows back. The shaving of the hair teaches us that our old nature is neither involved in the service of God. It also teaches us that it cannot be reformed. Because why? Because it keeps growing back, doesn't it? It keeps growing back. Brother Tim James brought this forth about this shaving of the hair. He said, it must be cut off, and that by the razor of the Spirit, the double-edged sword of the Lord, which pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nature will never, never improve. That's what Brother Tim James says. Our old nature will never, never improve. Only the razor will keep it in check. Right? Spirit of the Lord. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you, he says, because you are not under the law, but under grace. So one of the first lessons that we are taught by the Holy Spirit of God is that our old nature is judged, condemned, and sentenced to death. And we are taught that whatever is produced by nature is condemned by God, right?
These people going about trying to establish their own righteousness before God are doing it in the flesh, beloved. Not according to the Spirit.
They're trying to work their own righteousness by their own flesh, and God will have nothing to do with it. So rejoice, beloved of God. We are purified by the blood of Christ, by God, and will one day stand in His presence, all according to the grace of God. We also see the washing of the clothes. This is representative of the self-judgment or the condemnation of our nature from our own heart. By the grace of God, beloved, we are clothed now in a new garment. What is that garment? It's the righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed to us. We're made clean in God's eyes by the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that's made us clean, is the blood of Christ. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. According to His mercy, according to His grace, and that's sovereign mercy, and that's sovereign grace, isn't it? And you and I are objects of that mercy, all according to the sovereign will of God. So never forget, as we go through this world, in this week, never forget things that come your way. God's in full control. Our Almighty Sovereign is in full control. He's in charge of everything.
There's nothing happening outside his permissive will. Nothing.
My, oh my. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And only by the grace of God. When our Lord Jesus Christ, when He died on that cross, all our sins were imputed to Him. Every single one. Now they were all future for us, weren't they? They were all future for us. But the Scripture says we were in Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but I live by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago. He did it all, didn't He? He did it all. And praise the God, He finished the work of salvation. Praise God that everything that God demanded for the payment for our sins is done. It is finished. How? By God's sovereign grace. Praise His mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and grace which has been bestowed upon us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That we who are Your people think upon the fact this week that the only one that's made us to differ from anyone else in this world is You, Lord. You, Father, chose us in Christ. You, Lord, redeemed us in Calvary's cross, and You, Holy Spirit, regenerated us and brought us to Christ, gave us faith to believe. We pray that as this message goes forth, Lord, that You'd use it for Your glory. Oh, that You'd save lost sinners, Lord. That You'd show them their desperate need for You is what You've done for we who are Your people. That they may proclaim and rejoice with us in the sovereign mercy and grace of You. Glory to Your name, Father. We love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.